Sports Radio 960 AM, WSBT.
Hour number two, Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on Sports Radio 960 AM, WSBT. He broke the story. He got it out there first. He is Brian Driscoll from IrishBreakdown.com. Mike Elston leaving after 12 years at Notre Dame. So what was your reaction, Brian, after you picked your jaw up off the floor?
You know, not incredibly surprised, to be honest with you. Disappointed, I guess, because I knew how much the players love playing for him, and I do know how much he loves Notre Dame, but I also understood. It caught me off guard just because I wasn't expecting it. So when I say not surprised, it's not like I knew he was going to leave because I know everything. That's not what I'm saying. I mean, more so as a coach, I understand why. You know, he's been at Notre Dame 12 years. He built the D-line that was the foundation of Bob Diaco getting a head coaching job. He built the D-line that helped Mike Elko get the D coordinator job at Texas A&M, and then Clark Lee to be the head coach at Vanderbilt, and Marcus Freeman to be the head coach at Notre Dame. And it's kind of like, I've been here 12 years and I'm still just the D line coach. And I think he has aspirations of being a head coach and feeling like, you know, is this just not going to happen at Notre Dame? And I think the timing of the situation with the coaching change, he's leaving the D line position in a great, great shape where it's an attractive job for whoever replaces him. Which I think it was important to him because, you know, he does care about the kids and who's going to coach them and replace them. And I think if you're going to do it, now is the time to do it so they can go out there and get a great replacement. So I understand it from his point of view. I also understand why Notre Dame wasn't willing to, you know, promote him to the D coordinator position just to keep him. If they didn't feel he was that was the best fit for him and the program and all those kind of things. So I kind of got it from both sides, but it doesn't make it less disappointing because, look, Mike Elson's a really good D-line coach. Mm-hmm. But even more, he's an awesome guy, and he's a great dad, and he's a great husband, and he's an example for these young kids of what it's like to grow up and be a man who's responsible and accountable and a good father, and how that always is more important than your profession and your vocation. And I think those are the lessons I care more about than your third down pass rush technique. Mm-hmm. And that's what I always liked about Mike Elston.
Does the performance of the defense in the second half of the Fiesta Bowl, does that come into play at all in this?
For the D coordinator position, yes. Because let's be honest, if Mike Elston gets offered the defensive coordinator job at Notre Dame, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, this story doesn't exist, right?
Right, it doesn't. But at the same time, it's you know, it wasn't that it was an audition, but it was kind of an audition where if they'd have gone out there and just dominated Oklahoma State, then he could have walked in the door like, hey, you don't need to look for a new D coordinator, man. I'm right here. You know, look what we did and look at the job we did. But, you know, that's not how it played out. And I think that opened a door for Coach Freeman to kind of look outside the program and look for someone who's done it, you know, in the past and someone who's got more experience maybe at that particular job. And that's kind of where Coach Elston's got to be is like, look, being at Notre Dame and all the success we've had, two playoffs, the BCS, and I still can't get a MAC head coaching job or an AAC head coaching job. This just isn't – it's just Notre Dame's not going to be that bridge to that. I need to try to do something else. And, you know, and I do think this is the only job he would have left Notre Dame for. I don't know if we've mentioned it or not yet. This is his alma mater.
Right.
This is where he played college football. This is where he spent the first 4 years of his coaching career. It is close to his home of St. Mary's, Ohio, to where his family is. It's a place that would be a smoother transition for his daughters and his wife to move to. It's only a couple hours away from South Bend. So I think this one made a lot of sense.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, this has all the trappings of this is the one gig that I'm going to listen for, you know? Or at least, you know, this is the one school that I would go to.
Right.
Especially after putting in this much time at Notre Dame.
And, right. Because he wasn't out looking, right, Jim? I mean, that's the thing. He wasn't out like, oh, I'm not getting the D coordinator job. Here's my resume, everyone. That wasn't how this went down.
Right.
This was a Michigan. So just time frame, January 5th, Michigan's D-line coach left for USC. Mm-hmm. An opening filled. If Sean Nua doesn't leave Michigan for USC – Mike Elson's not being announced as Michigan, you know, that we're not breaking news about Mike Elson going to Michigan.
Right.
Right. So it's all kind of happened. And here's the other thing I respect. Coach Freeman has known, my understanding is that Coach Freeman has known about this from the get-go, because before Mike Elston went and did interviews and did all this stuff with Michigan, he told Coach Freeman and he told his players. Okay. And what a contrast between right. that and the guy that left in November.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As far as there's a right way. Look, leaving a job for a better opportunity that you think is going to get you to where you want to get to professionally, there's nothing wrong with that. It's there's nothing wrong with Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame for LSU. It's how you leave it.
Yeah.
He left with no class. Mike Elson is leaving with all class. And that's how people are going to remember him, in my opinion. And that's how they should remember him, in my opinion.
Brian Driscoll from IrishBreakdown.com breaking down Mike Elston leaving for Michigan after 12 years at Notre Dame here on Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT. What does this mean as far as commitments go, or any guys in the transfer who are coming, you know, as far as the defensive line, you know, any incoming, outgoing because of this?
Well, I don't see any incoming being impacted from a transfer portal standpoint. There aren't any D linemen in the portal right now that we know of that was coming. The 2022 kids are already on campus, Tyson Ford and Aiden Gobira. They were early enrollees. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen with the 2023 commits. They have two commitments from ends. One is Keon Keeley, who's a five-star from Florida. Incredibly talented player. Would be Notre Dame's best defensive line signee since the class that brought Notre Dame Stephon Tuitt and Aaron Lynch. He's that good. Brennan Vernon's a top 100 player from Ohio. They beat Ohio State for him. You know, Mike Elson obviously played a key role in their recruitments, as did Marcus Freeman. So hopefully you can do something quickly and get a new coach on board that can keep those kids in the class and do so quickly before other schools are able to, you know, plant water and grow some seeds that are a little bit, that you're not going to be able to recover from. But I think that's from a recruiting standpoint, the biggest concern is trying to make sure that the foundation of your number one ranked 2023 recruiting class, which is your ends, doesn't go anywhere.
You mentioned that that Marcus Freeman knew about this a couple days ago, or at least knew about the process anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Do Notre Dame have anybody lined up?
Not yet, because I think this is one of those things where it's going to kind of somewhat go hand in hand with who the defensive coordinator is going to be.
Okay.
And I think as they're working to find out who that's going to be, you kind of want to at least give that coach like a, hey, we like you, we're talking to you, do you have anybody in mind that you may want for this position? Because look, a coordinator is going to want to bring in his own guys.
Sure.
But Marcus Freeman already has his own guys in Mike Mickens and Chris O'Leary.
Mm-hmm.
And he had his own guy in Mike Elson. So a new defensive coordinator is going to have to kind of come in and you're the new guy. Well, now there's an opening. And Coach Freeman will be able to give whoever the candidates are to be the next D coordinator, he'll be able to say, look, we got one spot open. Do you have someone in mind? I have some guys in mind, but if you have somebody better, let's talk. And, you know, you can maybe use that as a little carrot or a little nugget to maybe entice the guy that you want to be here.
I was talking about this at the start of the show. I think you were busy doing your own show on IrishBreakdown.com. But I was kind of extrapolating this a little bit further. And this doesn't seem like the type of move that Mike Elston would make if Jim Harbaugh was on his way out. So does this mean Jim Harbaugh is staying? Does it mean Jim Harbaugh could be pulling the wool over our eyes? You know, I'm just thinking, you know, from a little bit wider lens here on that.
Yeah, knowing Jim Harbaugh, I would not see what you just said, Jim, was perfectly rational and sane and coherent and makes a lot of sense in the real world. This isn't the coaching is not the real
no,
world.
<it's> not.
Most people are not like Mike Elson to doing it the right way, and Jim Harbaugh is a little nuts.
Okay. Yeah.
So could it be what you said? Yeah, it could be that. But knowing Jim Harbaugh, I could see him making like three new hires and then be like, all right, peace out, I'm going to the Bears, right? Like with Jim Harbaugh, you just never know. I feel like he may wake up one day and be like, yeah, I think I'm gonna take the Bears job or the Raiders job or, you know, Texans job or whatever else may happen. But I would common sense would tell us that you are correct, that he's not making this move as aggressively as he is if he didn't have intentions as of now to stay. But at the same time, you could say, well, he may intend to stay now And so he's making these moves, but he's still listening. And if that right offer comes along, he's going to take it. Because if you're negotiating for the next 2 weeks for an NFL job, you can't just not fill out your staff.
Right.
Right. And that's what makes this whole thing just kind of strange and hard to sometimes hard to read those things.
You want to put odds on that? That he's not going anywhere?
No. If it was any other human being on the planet, I would say let's do this. But with Jim Harbaugh, it's like, man, I'm not going to try to get inside that guy's head.
Right.
You know, it's like there's no coming back from that. You know, you can't unring that bell once you get inside that guy's head.
Well, all right then. is there anything else that we need to know about this story? Quite honestly,
what, you
know,
a new receivers coach, Mike Ellison leaving. There's a D coordinator hiring out there. No, I think the thing is for me is look, when I am approached by my former players or young people that want to get into coaching, they always ask me, you know, why should I get into coaching? And I say, if you're getting in it for winning and losing, don't. Because obviously winning, losing is important. That's why you play games. But the bigger thing is, what impact are you making in the lives of young people? What kind of example are you setting as a husband, as a father? You know, and it matters more to me what kind of husband and father my players are than however many catches they had. And Mike Ellison lived that at a level of football where it is incredibly difficult to live that.
Yeah.
And that's something that I've always respected about him beyond the sacks and the numbers. And 20 years from now, when I think about Mike Elston, that's what I'm going to think of. And to me, that means a whole lot more than, you know, the third down pass rushing technique or how to properly set an edge that he taught guys.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I respect about him. That's something I respect so far of what I know of Marcus Freeman. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, how you impact these young people as men matters a whole lot more to me than what you taught them from a proper technique standpoint. Now, you want coaches that do both, right? That's how you keep your job. But I would rather have, at the end of the day, someone who's that than someone who's a bad person who doesn't care about kids beyond what they can do for them on the football field, even if that person's successful.
All right. He's the man who broke the story, Mike Elston.
So no
leaving.
Urban Meyer to Notre Dame.
Right. We could just crumple that up and throw it away again. Burn that wad of paper, too. You know? And then throw it through a shredder.
That's right.
Like I said, he broke the story of Mike Elston leaving for Michigan after 12 years at Notre Dame as the defensive line coach. He is Brian Driscoll, the lovely and talented Brian Driscoll from IrishBreakdown.com. Thank you.
I'm glad you got that in. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
Appreciate that.
Again,
feel better,
you know,
by myself again now.
Gotta honor the contract, you know, lovely and talented
appreciate
part.
That.
So.
I do pay you to say that we can be honest with the people.
Right.
There's
absolutely.
No doubt.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for that last check to clear, but, you know.
Told you. I gotta
build
move
up
some funds
credit.
Around.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks for having me on, Jim. Yes, sir.
All right, so there we go, IrishBreakdown.com. That's where you need to go to find out all that you need to know about Mike Elston leaving. So there you go. Rapid fire coming up. Going to have Carl the Truth Stutzman on. He's I was talking to him earlier today, and he was like, ask me some Bears questions. I have some takes. No pressure, Carl, but there you go. That's all to come. Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat, Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT.